Issues, Etc., regular guest Pastor Stephen Parks on why your congregation should join the Issues, Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues, Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues, Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues, Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. The Issues, Etc. 300.
There are varying signs of a failure to appreciate not only the rights of believers to freedom of conscience and freedom of religion, but also the legitimate role of religion in the public square.
That discharges the soldier with the real problem, the homophobic soldier that has the real negative effect on unit cohesion.
I want to urge the U.S. Senate to oppose this policy for what it is. It's a radical social experiment.
The God of American civil religion is not the triune God of Jesus Christ. He is Zeus at best, or Baal at worst.
Indiana truck drivers love Issues, Etc.
I used to talk about the glass ceiling for women in the business world. That was shattered. And yet, a discrepancy in both pay and position is still reported. It's a significant discrepancy in pay and position for women in the workplace, especially moms. Why is this? And what can be done about it? And why in the world would feminists today be poo-pooing the idea of the business world accommodating itself to the special needs and desires of women with children? They want flex time. They want a slightly different arrangement. They want an at-home work schedule. Why would feminists be against this? Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, the 30th of September. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Colleen Carol Campbell will join us here in the first few minutes of this hour to talk about feminists and the mommy penalty in the workplace. Sarah Pulliam Bailey of GetReligion.org will be our guest after that to talk about a recent conference of the Religious Newswriters Association that she attended and what she learned. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will be alongside right after that. We'll talk about those who consider themselves spiritual but not religious. And then Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute will join us to talk about the president's recent comments on abortion at a town hall meeting. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talkback at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Colleen Carol Campbell is host of a weekly television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
This discrepancy, a gap, if you will, of both position and pay that women experience in the workplace, does sexism alone account for it?
No, it doesn't. And I think we don't hear enough about that when we see reports like the one that came out this week. There was a Government Accountability Office, GAO, report on women and pay, and it found that, you know, according to the headlines, women were falling woefully behind in terms of moving up the ranks into management. About 4 in 10 managers in this country in any given industry are women, whereas in the workforce as a whole, women account for about half of workers. So there's a gap there. It was there in 2000. In 2007, they surveyed again and found it was pretty much exactly the same and gone up 1 percentage point. So this had a lot of establishment feminists kind of carping about how women can't get ahead because it remains a man's world, the business world or industry in general. And they also spoke, of course, about the pay gap that still exists between women and men. I think it's now 81 cents for every dollar a woman to a man. In terms of the ratio there, women earning 81 cents for every dollar a man earns. And that's adjusted for age and education, that. But it's not always adjusted for a number of other factors, including the businesses and professions into which women gravitate in larger numbers, which sometimes don't come with as much pay. But also, and I think most importantly, is the choices that women make along the way, choices that a lot of feminist leaders don't acknowledge or affirm when talking about this gap. And that is that a lot of women, given opportunities to take on more responsibility at work and also, as a result, more pay, but also more hours, often step back, especially as mothers, and say, you know, I'm willing to settle for a little less pay and a little less prestige if it means more time at home. And that's a reality most working mothers know, but it's not taken into account in a lot of our headlines on this issue.
I have to ask, because I can faintly hear some of your children in the background.
Right.
Is this a reality for you, Colleen?
Yes, yes, it is, which is, of course, often inspires my column ideas. This one certainly was the case. You know, when I read in this recent survey that the percentage of mothers is much lower in management than in the workforce as a whole, you know, and I read that female managers, those who kind of rise to the very top, tend not to have children or not to have many children. I think that makes a lot of sense for most moms. I mean, children are a very consuming part of your life, and when you have children, most women want to spend time with them as much as possible. Financially, it's not always possible for a woman to stay home completely, but a lot of women choose to do flex time, part time, and working at home, which is what I do. I'm not working full-time, but I am continuing to do work outside the home, but technically I'm actually in the home, home office such as it is. So, you know, these are all options that we have as women today that we didn't have 20 years ago, and certainly the internet and technology have made these possible. So a lot of women see them as wonderful things, and it's exciting that you can continue to keep a hand in the working world without having to be apart from your children all day. And yet, a lot of feminist leaders are still condemn women who make these choices, saying that we're setting other women back. Former Planned Parenthood President Gloria Felt recently spoke about this in an interview. She has a new book out telling women to grasp for power with more ferocity than we have in the past. And she specifically addresses this question of women choosing part-time, flex-time type options, mommy track, basically, and said in the interview with Canada's Globe and Mail that these kinds of women are setting other women back, and we have a responsibility to the sisterhood, you know, to do as much as we can professionally with our education and our skills, and that means, you know, going full bore down the career track and not taking these kind of detours and timeouts for other reasons. So, you know, this is still something that establishment feminist leaders are saying to women. And again, it's not in touch. They are not in touch with the ordinary desires and concerns of most women who want to spend time with their children and with their families, even if it means they don't get the corner office or don't get it just yet.
My thoughts exactly on movement feminism increasingly out of touch with where real women, especially mothers, are. What do you think, as a mother, how do you react when you read something like that from Gloria Felt?
Well, you know, it strikes me as incredible that a movement that supposedly celebrates women's choices, and Felt is one who is very, as she would describe herself, pro-choice, is basically frowning upon a choice that the vast majority of mothers want to make. And those who don't make this choice, many of them wish they could. But for financial reasons, because they're single moms, because of the nature of their work, whatever, they're not maybe able to have the kind of flexible hours they want. But, it's odd. I think it's a very dissonant chord to strike with women when you are purporting to represent women. And I also think it denigrates the unique contributions that women make to the professions and public life. We know, you know, contributions vary by the woman that we're speaking of, but one of the contributions that tends to happen among women, it's not all women, but women tend to have an inclination toward valuing relationships and focusing very much on the concrete person in front of them, often less than they focus on the abstract policies or even the status and prestige that come with a promotion. The fact that women are choosing to take time, even if it means, you know, a little less pay, a little less prestige, take more time with their kids or more time with their aging parents, as is often the case, or more time with their spouses, you know, I think in a workaholic and consumeristic culture like ours, that's something we should celebrate and encourage men to, you know, adopt as well to the extent that it's practical. And in fact, we're seeing more and more men making the same kinds of decisions. Younger men are especially doing this, even in fields like medicine, the field that my husband is in. I know it's a, you know, it's a pretty consuming field and career. But I know in his medical school class, there was a lot more talk, even among the men, about wanting to have work-life balance and time for the families that they hope to have one day, than you would have heard 20 years ago. That's a positive thing. So this is a positive tendency, I think, that women have, especially mothers. I think it's a positive thing that men are paying more attention to work-life balance and spending time at home. And the last thing we need to do is follow some of these establishment feminist leaders in condemning this and arguing that we need to be more focused on our career, more career-driven. I think, if anything, in this country, we could all use, you know, a little more time to rest, real rest, and spend that time worshiping and enjoying our families, and a little less time kind of trying to struggle up to the next rung on the career ladder.
With only 30 seconds, it sounds like, in spite of what feminists had planned or hoped for, the workplace really is changing to accommodate the special contributions and needs of women, especially mothers. About 30 seconds.
I think that's right. And the reason that it's changing is women are insisting upon it. This is not to denigrate the good that has come from feminism. Certainly women have many more opportunities today in the workplace than we ever did before, and that's something we can all be grateful for. But I think women on the ground in real life are fashioning this sort of post-feminist workplace to what suits their needs. And an enduring need and desire of the vast majority of women is to spend time with the children that they have, and not to miss that, because, you know, you can seize those career opportunities later. You might not have the exact same ones, but usually something similar will come along. But you only get one shot to raise your kids. And I think it's a good thing that so many women in America are saying, I'm going to make that my top priority, even over and above the supposed duty I have to this abstract sisterhood.
Folks, you can read Colleen Carroll Campbell's columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Colleen is host of a weekly television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes weekly columns for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Thanks, Colleen.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
And when we come back, we'll talk about the Religious News Writers Association meeting in Denver, and Sarah Pulliam Bailey was there. We'll see what she learned. Are you looking for a new devotional resource? Well, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is titled God Granted, Daily Devotions from C.F.W. Walther. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase God Granted by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A Christ-centered, cross-focused devotional resource, God Granted, Daily Devotions from C.F.W. Walther, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support, equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Catechesis, God's way of teaching faith in Christ and love to the neighbor. The Concordia Catechetical Academy is dedicated to promoting Luther's small catechism and faithful Lutheran catechesis around the world. We are the publisher of the Lutheran Catechesis Series, catechetical materials for use with adults and children, in congregations and on the mission field, in families and in schools. Visit our website at peacesussex.org.
Did you know that you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by donating stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio? For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. this year. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support.